Welcome to the Heartland Worship Center podcast, an audio experience to help you grow in your relationship with God. Visit us at hwcagra.com for more great content.
If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 is where we're going to be studying here in just a moment. And we're talking through the series First Church. And we are looking at the early church as displayed in the book of Acts. Today we're specifically in Acts chapter 5. And so far we have been exposed to some amazing things that take place in Scripture. And we have taken away some key points of what it means to be God's church. How many know this morning that this is God's church? Amen? That this is God's church, that the church as a whole or abroad belongs to Him. This was His creation, His invention that was brought into being for a very specific purpose. And as we look through the book of Acts, so far we have discovered that God's church is a church of power. What do I mean by that this morning? That He gives power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit as declared in Acts chapter 1. I am thankful today that we are a church that is about God's mission, that is going to reach and make disciples all across this world. But how many know that this is a mission that we can't do on our own? That we need God's power, and praise be to God, He has supplied us, amen, with that gift, with that power to help be His witnesses to all the corners of the world. Secondly, God's church is a church that sees beauty through brokenness. His church does not simply slip by the hurting. His church engages the needs. We looked at Acts chapter 3 in the story of the beggar at the gate called Beautiful. And this man had been placed there to beg, to basically bring in his resource as best he could. He couldn't walk, he couldn't fend for himself, and several had passed by him for many days, and he would receive his resource through begging. And Peter and John come on the scene, and instead of ignoring him or just slipping maybe a coin or two in his cup that day, they look down and they say, "Listen, we don't have any money. What you're asking us for, we can't give, but what we do have, we will give you." And in that moment, we see this man healed by the power of Jesus. It says that his feet and his ankles became strong, and he does something that he has never done in 40 years. He stands up and begins to walk. You see, the disciples saw the beauty through the brokenness. They didn't just see a broken, crippled individual laying on the ground. They saw somebody that Jesus loves, and they reached out to him. And we see this amazing, amazing miracle take place. Fourthly, we looked at how God's church is a church that is in one heart and one mind with Jesus. His church is aligned with His mission, with his compassion, with His way, and with His truth. Last week, we looked at how God's church is a church of healing. And a statement that has stuck with me since watching the sermon last week on Facebook: where there is faith, there is healing. And not just faith in aimless things. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ this morning, we can expect healing. And I don't say this out of arrogance. Hear me, please. I don't say this because it's something that you know, I walk to God and say, "You owe this to me." No. I want to be careful in how we present this morning. The Bible tells us by His stripes we are healed. We're going to look at that passage here in just a few moments, but I want us to understand what that means. Christ was broken. His body was broken so that you and I could be made whole again. And this is both a spiritual healing and a physical healing. That we could be made whole again. But we must place our faith in Christ. We humbly come before Him and we give Him our life, and in return expect receive healing. Aren't you glad today for the healing that we have experienced through Jesus Christ? Amen. Let me ask you this. Are you glad to be a part of His church today?
Amen.
His church, as we already mentioned, this does not belong to us. It belongs to God. Church is not something that we do. Amen? It's something that we are. What does that mean? The church is not merely a building. I know we refer to the facility as the church, but that's not what the church is today. It's not something that we attend on Sunday, but it is an extension of Jesus' ministry until He returns. Listen to me. The church is a living, breathing body of believers who is the light to this dark and broken world. As I look before me, I see the church. And today we are going to continue our journey through Acts as we look at a passage from Acts chapter 5 and talk about a topic that it's not something that we like to bring up very often when talking about the church. So far we've talked about God's power. We've talked about seeing beauty through brokenness. We've seen the importance of being in one heart and mind with Jesus and that Jesus heals. But today we're going to talk about something that the church might experience as a result of its faith and walk in Christ, and that is persecution. The early church knew persecution. They knew of the threats, and they lived under the pressure of what might happen to them because of their faith in Jesus. What is persecution? Persecution is suffering. It is a direct result of faith. Persecution is something that is very real and can be very upsetting and is something that the enemy will try to use to stop the advancement of God's church. Make no mistake about it this morning, church. As we press onward in the Lord, the enemy is going to do everything he can to resist or to stop what God is trying to do. Here's the cool thing. God's already won. Okay, we need to, because I think we can do a little bit better. I know it's fair week, and I know we got some folks out on vacation this week, but hang on. As the church advances, as the church goes about God's business and works to reach the lost, the enemy is going to put up barriers. He's going to try to put up obstacles in our way. But the problem for the enemy is that God has already won.
Amen.
Okay, there we go. There we go. I just want to make sure that we understand this. The victory has been won. And these things that the enemy try to put in our way called persecution, they are distractions. They are a way he's trying to push our buttons, trying to get us off mission. Why? Because if a church is off mission, it's no threat to the devil. In fact, I wouldn't even call it a church. I'd call it a social gathering. I know, I'm sorry. I just preach it. I didn't write it. Listen to me. If we're not on God's mission, we're not a church. But as long as we remain on mission, one thing I can tell you is that the enemy is going to try to fight back. Well, I got news for you, devil. You're already defeated.
Amen.
And we're moving forward into the power of Jesus Christ. But persecution is something that is very real and something that the early church had to experience. And I want us to understand as believers in Christ and as the church moves forward, I know I've already pressed on this. I just want to give us some scripture in this here. Christ himself says that the enemy will never overcome the church. Matthew 16:18 in the King James Version says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's no gray area in there. There's no, well, maybe on a good day. No, the devil's done. Okay? And Jesus also made clear that suffering will be a part of following him. Now, just hang on with me for just a moment. Pastor, I thought you said salvation is good and we receive eternal life. We walk in the light, no longer in darkness. These are all things that are very real, very true. But understand, Christ also said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, that whoever wants to be my disciple, who wants to be a disciple of Christ this morning? A follower of Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Then we must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Which means we're going to have days where we're on the mountaintop. How many know what I'm talking about? Everything's going right, everything. But there's going to be days where we might find ourselves in the valley. And that's why it is so important that we deny ourselves, that we remember, hey, wait a minute, this isn't about me. that we pick up our cross, which is a symbol of what? Suffering and shame. But we keep following Jesus. Why? Because somewhere I read that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That no matter what this world or what the enemy may try to throw at us, as long as we keep our eyes on our Savior, we will be okay. Here's the main thought of today's message. The enemy may try to shut down the advancement of the gospel by persecuting the church and believers. However, if the church and believers remain steadfast in their faith, God will help us overcome anything the enemy might throw at us. And I want to make this disclaimer. We cannot do this without Jesus. Never should the church find itself in a position where it is no longer dependent on our Savior. I know we've got a lot of great technologies. I'm thankful for the camera on the back wall that's allowing our Facebook audience to be with us today. I'm thankful for the air conditioning, hallelujah, that's keeping us nice and cool in this place. Hello? These are great tools, but they will never do what God can do. Are you hearing me? These tools can't break down the spiritual strongholds. These tools can't bring revival back to a dead land. Listen to me. We must remain dependent in Jesus in all things. Man, I could preach like five different... Can you tell I haven't been behind the pulpit for a while? We're going to learn how to overcome persecution. The early church experienced severe levels of persecution and overcame because of their faith in Jesus. Their faith carried them through. We're going to look at 2 points this morning very quickly out of Acts 5 that help bring that truth to light. The apostles have been teaching and performing signs and miracles. We've talked about a few things already that had happened and certainly gotten the attention of the crowds of that day. People were getting healed, hallelujah. Lives were being changed, and faith in Christ was growing among the people. Word was spreading of these miracles. And when you read again just the passage that was covered last week, you see that people are bringing out the sick. They're bringing out people who need a deliverance, who are spiritually bound. Listen, demonic oppression and possession are very real things, church. But the word had gotten out. Wait a minute. There's something going on. There's a new hope happening, and I want to see what's happening. And they begin to bring people. I mean, how cool would it be? Let's bring this into our context today. That if God began to do such a radical thing here at HWC, that as ambulances on their way to the hospital taking the injured or taking the sick said, hang on, time out, before we take you to the ER, let's take you over to that church because God's healing people. Yeah. Oh, pastor, that's so far-fetched. Hey, no, time out. Nothing is too big or difficult for my God. And when word begins to spread that, listen, there is a new hope, there is healing happening in the name of Jesus, people respond. Amen. I'm dreaming big. Okay. Do you know why? Because my God can do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. So dream big, church, because God's going to go bigger. Amen. Come on. Amen. Woo! Their faith carried them through. Crowds gathered from all over so that people could be healed and set free. But not everybody in this moment was excited about what was happening and what was taking place in the temple courts. You see, the high priests, they were members of the Sadducees. They're upset. So they did what they thought they could do. They arrested the apostles and they put them in a public jail. And they worked to try to silence their teaching, to shut down their influence. And as we talked about in a previous message, jail is meant to be a discouraging thing. I would be discouraged in jail. Jailed for your faith might cause a person to think about keeping their faith to themselves, but God had something bigger in mind. Look at verse 19. These guys are in prison. Look what happens. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Look at verse 20. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Now, if I had just been freed from jail by an angel, and he's telling me, well, I want you to go back to the temple courts and do exactly what you were doing before, I might say, now, hey, look, angel, that's what got me in jail in the first place. But these guys don't even flinch. We're going to see why here in just a moment. He says, go to the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. And at daybreak, here's their response. They entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. The apostles did as they were told by the angel and went back to teaching the people. The persecution had failed. And in the next several verses, we're going to see why. We're going to see how it is that the apostles overcame this persecution. First, they remained faithful to the will of God. God has a plan. And this plan has been in motion since the day Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. His plan is a redemptive plan. His plan included the giving of His Son that all might be redeemed through His mighty and precious blood. His plan includes His church. His plan includes this church. Amen? The vehicle through which Jesus' ministry continues until He returns. Now, there's one important thing to remember about God's plan. Are you ready for this? His plan never fails. You can fight it. You can deny it. You can walk away from it. You can pretend it doesn't exist. But guys, this is one thing I've learned. God's plan never fails. And in our passage today, the authorities were trying to stop or put a stop to what they saw as nothing more than troublemakers trying to make a name for themselves. You see, the apostles were disrupting the norm of the day, if you will. And they didn't like it. They were thrown in jail, released from jail by an angel, arrested again, and will later stand trial for their faith. But as you will see, they overcame. They didn't allow their circumstances to move them from the will of God. Our faith in Christ, church, will disrupt the world around us. As I mentioned before from the keyboard just a few moments ago, I am glad that God's love came in and disrupted this life. Turned it upside down. How many are glad for that this morning? But our faith will disrupt the world around us. Because with our faith comes a message unlike anything else in this world. It's a selfless message. It's a message that is beyond anything that any man can accomplish. It's a message of hope. It's a message of love. It's a message of redemption and deliverance. It's a game changer message. And this is why it is a persecuted message. Why? Because it requires change. Resistance comes to the message out of fear of change. And if we look at this from the point of view of the world, if the message of the gospel is true, it means that I've got to change. And what the world doesn't understand is it's a good change. And if we read back a few verses again and see the good change that had come to those who believed, you saw healing, you saw deliverance, you saw redemption, you saw forgiveness, you saw new hope, you saw new freedom, strength being renewed, and new life. Listen, friends, this is a message worth sharing today. And I want us to understand, the apostles had been instructed by the authorities to stop teaching the name of Jesus. The apostles had been instructed by God, however, to keep spreading His word. And here's where we see the important point at work. They chose to go God's way and not man's way. In fact, when they stood before these authorities, their statement to them in Acts, or verse 29, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, they say, we must obey God rather than human beings. They remain faithful to the will of God. God's message is one that will overcome because it's God's message. And after the apostles stood before the Sanhedrin, they were dismissed for a time while a man by the name of Gamaliel stood and addressed the court. And he gives an illustration of how certain fads had come and gone and evaporated quickly once their leaders had gone. And he concludes his address by saying this. In the present case, I advise you leave these men alone. Now watch this. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. You see, this guy had insight. Who is this guy? This is the guy that also taught a man by the name of Saul, who would later become Paul. So we know that his views on the church aren't necessarily good views at first here, but we also know that in this situation, he is looking at these Sadducees and saying, hang on, time out. We've seen fads come and we've seen fads go. But one thing about this is that if this is truly from God, you're not going to be able to stop it. Amen. And I like his words here. I like what he says in this situation. You will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. See, understand something this morning. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. This is a spiritual enemy that is trying to stop the advancement of God's church. When we see folks try to come against the church, or you see litigations come against believers for standing for their faith and different things, guys, this is nothing. This is spiritual warfare at play. And I want us to understand that it's not a world fighting people. They are fighting God. They are fighting against God. They are fighting against the gospel message, his message. It's not our message. We proclaim his message. Are you hearing me today? And one thing that the world doesn't realize is that the world is powerful, and they got a lot of resources, and they got a lot of tools. But our God, he created this world. He's more powerful, got bigger resources, and got more tools than this world would ever know what to do with. This is a message that cannot be stopped. And this incredible insight that is brought to the table is what gets these guys, or it convinces the Sadducees to let these men go. God's plan will not fail. And as long as we remain connected and aligned with his plan, church, listen to me, there is no amount of persecution we cannot overcome. We must remain aligned to God's plan. What would have happened if these guys would have gone off and started doing things their own way? Well, what would have happened if they decided to play it safe? And, Angel, I get it. You're asking me to go and to preach the good news in the temple. But hey, how about we go a couple blocks away? We're still preaching, but that self-preservation kicks in. How many know what I'm talking about? Those automatic, listen, if God instructs you, I think of the early missionaries in the beginning movements of the Assemblies of God who felt called to go to a land, a very dark land. And in answering the call, loaded their belongings in caskets because they knew it was a one-way ticket. But do you understand today that what God is doing in some of those nations today is a direct result because somebody would not be stopped, but would go forward in the name of Jesus? They planted the seeds of the revivals that are happening today in Africa. Why would somebody make such a crazy sacrifice? Because God called them to go. Why would somebody face such severe circumstances? Because God called them to go. Because they realize that God's message is worth sharing with the world, even if it costs you everything. Secondly, I want to move through here and we'll bring this together today. We see that the apostles rejoiced as they served the Lord. These guys are set free, but eventually, but before that happens, they are flogged. They are commanded to not teach anymore. If you look at Acts 40, chapter 5, verse 40, the address had convinced them. It says that they called the apostles in and had them flogged, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, would this be the final point where the apostles would break? No. I love their response in verse 41. It says the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Look at verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Why? Because they remained in God's plan, and two, they didn't let the devil steal their praise. If the devil can steal your praise, church, hello? If the devil can steal your praise, and here's the thing, it's not like the devil can just come in and take the praise out of you. No, it's when we begin to listen to him. Come on. When we begin to listen to his lies and we begin to listen to his deceptive ways, oh, how are you going to get yourself out of this one, Tommy? You might as well just go and be down in the dumps. Or you can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Your praise is powerful. Your praise is contagious. Your praise is something that the enemy wants to close up and to shut down. But in this case, we see how the apostles, now having been in prison, also have being flogged. That's not a fun thing, by the way. Hello? That is a severe form of punishment. They leave the place of persecution, rejoicing the name of Jesus, praising the name of Jesus. And this word rejoice is important for us to look at and to understand. This isn't just walking out of jail and saying, praise God. Hallelujah. No, 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 no. You ready for this? This is praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. God is good. The Lord has saved us. God has delivered us. He has redeemed us. Did you just see that? They couldn't keep us because God's message will not fail. Oh, Pastor, you're crazy. That's what it means to rejoice. We got to shake off sometimes that civilized structure that's gotten on us and remember what it is that Christ has done for us. And in return, he asks us, will you give it all? You see, all of this needs to be remembered and received while understanding this one important, critical point. Nothing. Hear me, if you don't hear anything else, nothing could stop Christ from going to the cross for you. Amen. Nothing. Yes. Nothing. He went all the way. His life was not taken. Amen. His life was given. As a gift, as a sacrifice for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of this world. Amen. That's the Savior whom we serve today, who would go the distance for you. And now he's asking his church, will you go the distance for me? That if the enemy or if the world should try to get in your face and call you crazy, or call you names, or try to imprison you, or try to shut down your influence, will you remain on mission? Will you always give praise? Will you remain in the will of the Father? Will you continue to praise His name? He is worthy of our praise today. I think we can do a little bit better than that. I said he is worthy of our praise today. Amen. Persecution is not something that we look forward to. Amen. I don't like the idea of suffering, but at the same time, I've made up my mind loud and clear. I'm serving Jesus no matter what. Amen. Yes. In the good times, in the bad times, in the comfortable times, in the I don't know how I'm going to do this times. I'm serving Jesus no matter what. And once that has been made up in your heart, that's something that the devil can never change.